Well, now, if you've been here for 10 years or so, your Bible should just fall open to Romans 8 because of all the time that we spent in that chapter on the born-again trail. By the time I get through with you on face-to-face, your Bible is going to be falling open to John 14. That's where I want you to go. I'm really not going to review again tonight exactly like we have. We're too far down that. Well, every time I get ready to do one of these, we're still revisiting these face-to-face documents with a 10-year perspective, starting a new one tonight. And every time I get ready to do one and I start reading it again and listening to it, meditating and asking the Holy Spirit to remind me of all the things, you know, or many of the things that's happened during this 10 years, well, this becomes my favorite one. You know, last week, the one before was my favorite one, but right now this is my favorite one. And when I think of all the ways that this communication has changed my life for the better, each one of these was a lifesaver for me, and they still are, and they're still continuing to this day. And that's why I keep exhorting you. I want you to have that same leadership, that same fellowship, that same koinonia, or even more with the Holy Spirit, and you can have it. This is what Jesus intended. He told the disciples, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come to you. How are you going to come to us? How are we going to follow you? I'm sending you this other comforter. I'm not going to leave you like orphans. And he's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. He's not going to speak on his own authority, but what he hears, that's what he speaks. In other words, you're still going to be getting instructions from me, Jesus, the head of the church. But now, instead of coming from my mouth to your physical ear, it's going to come from the Holy Spirit to your reborn human spirit. You will be able to receive it, and you will be able to follow me, even though I'm not on the planet with you anymore. Now, we're going to get into John 14 as we go in here. I'm going to show you something that, probably 1,000 hours of prayer and meditation and assimilation. And I still get a lot of flack over it, but the laws of meditation will set you free on this verse. And we'll get to it in about 4 paragraphs here. So let me start just reading first. This one is called His Burden is Light. It's at the website in both written form and also audio. I was doing, again, what Dave teaches on that 2-tape series, distinguishing God's voice, practicing what's on there, practicing, till I began to hear the Holy Spirit. And as I would hear him speak to me, then I would speak that into a recorder, and then they were transcribed, and that's what I'm reading to you now. But now, as we're going to pause every now and then and give you some 10-year perspective. So he said to me, freedom comes by being released from all those things except those that I bring you from the mind of Christ. Freedom comes in having no responsibility except to do those things which he assigns each day. This is freedom indeed. Now I'm going to stop right there and tell you what he doesn't mean by that. See, when you first read that, if you're a breadwinner, head of a house, got kids to raise, say, glory to God, that means unless he tells me I got to have a job, I don't have to have a job. That is not at all what he's talking about. Now, you got to keep this in the context of what he was doing at the time. Remember even though this has taken a long time to teach, I received all of these in about 30 days, maybe a little longer. And what he was doing was training Sue and I and renewing our mind to get us back in 98 operating more into the gifts of the Spirit. He was trying to get us to the place where we could do more than just teach, but we could also minister life to the people. What I mean is so that they would get healed and the gifts of the Spirit would be in operation. So remember that. So when he says that phrase there, being released from all responsibility, he's doing it in that context. In other words, I don't have to put on any puppet shows when I do the ministry. If he hasn't told me to put on a puppet show for the kids, I don't have to do that. I don't care if everybody else is doing that. If he doesn't tell me to build a basketball court, you know, so that the poor will have a place to play basketball, just because other churches are doing it, and maybe it's God's will that they do it, I'm not responsible for doing that. He's talking about those things which comes from the head of the church. So just a few of the things I made note of. He's not talking about knowing when to change the oil in your car. Just so you'll know, I got a call last night about 8:30. Relative of mine, their car had overheated. Nice car. It's not an old car. It's newer than my car. So I get over there. It's a borrowed car, though. She'd borrowed it from another relative. I get over there, and I could tell already the thing's overheated. You know, the water's everywhere. So we go and get some water, several gallons of water, bring it back, puts water in the car, you know. But I'm always listening, you know, I'm always listening. Something in me said, you better check the oil. First off, I was looking for cracks in the hose, or I couldn't see anything wrong. This car's fairly new, you know. You wouldn't think it'd be the water pump. So I'm going, what in the world is making this car overheat? Well, the thought come to me, you better check the oil. I go around, pull the dipstick. There's not even a hint of any oil. I said, do you have any oil in this car? She said, well, I got one quart back here behind the seat. I said, go get it. Put the quart in, waited a moment, checked the dipstick. Not a hint of oil. Well, we got the thing started and limped it up to the Quick Trip. I'm not even going to tell you how many quarts of oil, but it was virtually out. It's a miracle of God the engine didn't seize, you know. So the reason I thought of that is what I wrote on here. You don't need to wait to hear from the head of the church to know, check the oil in your car. He trusts you to be a steward of that car. You need to get the oil changed and not wait for a word from heaven. Got that? I love the one that Dave tells about the prophet that came to stay with them one time. And this prophet, he says, I am so led of God. I don't even wash my clothes unless the Spirit tells me to. Now, I like Rosalie's answer. So, well, you may be a prophet of God, but if you're going to sleep in a bed in my house, buddy, you are going to wash your clothes when I tell you. He's not talking about that kind of thing. He's also not talking about wait to get a word to go get a job. Listen, the written word is your guide. You already have all. Remember that exhortation I did that time, that little short one? I said, now here's two little things that really please God. Remember? Quit fornicating and get a job. You remember that? Remember that one? You've already got the word on that. You don't have to have a special revelation. Should I quit fornicating? You know to quit fornicating. And you hold a job unless you get a rhema word. And I mean a real rhema word. And we've already done the one. And I don't mean I felt led, Brother Gary, to quit my job. I feel led to smack you upside the face. Violation of the word, you know, unless you get a specific instruction from heaven. All I'm saying is, he's not talking about those kind of things. We're not called to be flaky. You got that? Get a job, you old thing, unless he tells you otherwise. I'll tell you something else he's not talking about. You don't have to have a special word from God to know to go pray. Well, I'm waiting on him to tell me. He already said, when you pray, when you fast, and when you give. That's all in Matthew 6. When you pray, those three things you can just go do. Pray, fast, and give. Now, it is true. Sometimes he'll give a word to me. I want you to give a certain amount into the offering. There's other times I want you to give a certain amount to so-and-so. I mean, there may be times I want you to fast the next 3 days. I've had that kind of thing. And there's other times when you just know he wants you to pray. And I mean, right now, and you don't know how long you're going to be praying, but suddenly a release will come and you're done. That might be 5 minutes, it might be 5 hours. But we're talking about in the normal course of life. You don't have to wait for a special revelation when it comes to oil changes, do your laundry, get a job. And that what he's really talking about, and remember the subject matter, is how are you going to be led? What he's really saying is, look, when it comes to ministry, when it comes to receiving your instructions from the head of the church, let's phrase it this way. When you need your daily email from Jesus. Do we understand that? Wouldn't that be great? Well, you can really have it, but it comes by way of the Holy Ghost. That's the things he's talking about. And those are going to be the kind of things where it's going to be, I mean, you don't have to be in ministry to get those. He may say to you, your next door neighbor's sick. I want you to bake a something or other and take over there. Or so-and-so who's been really mean to you, I'm trying to reach them with my gospel. they're expecting you to retaliate in some bad way. I want you to fix them some zucchini bread and take it to them while it's hot. Tell them you love them. Tell them Jesus loves them. That's instructions from heaven. Or like the time I was minding my own business and he told me to give my pickup to my worst enemy. We don't want to go into that again. Those are the kind of things he's talking about. Next paragraph. The mind of man tends to bondage by devising works of an unending sort that leads to a never-ending cycle of labor producing death, labor producing death, labor producing death. What freedom there is for the sons of God who cast aside all unfruitful works and only listen to the counsel I bring them from the mind of Christ. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. To be free of all responsibility except the responsibilities that he assigns each day, that is freedom indeed. To have no care but simply do those assignments that come from his mind, now there is rest. When I was asking him about works producing death, now he's really talking about Gary. You'll see that later on as we get into this. Just like Pastor Dave says, no matter what kind of personality you have, some people are just kind of lazy by nature. The devil has a plan for them. See, I'm not one of those. I tend to be a workaholic by nature. My whole life, my average work day, 16 to 18 hours. It's slowing a little in my 60s, but and I've never been able to sleep over 6 hours at a time. And so I was always up pretty early and doing things. Now, also in my late 50s and 60s, I try and take a nap when I can. But most of my life, it wasn't like that. He has a works. His idea is to get you like a rat on a wheel, running and running and running and running and running your whole life on some kind of works that's not producing anything except it's hasting the day when you die. And you go to heaven empty-handed because you are involved like a rat on the wheel doing your own works and never really received the mind of Christ in order that his works could be accomplished through you, his plan for your life. Okay? And now he gets on to me real strong, and I left it in here for you guys, even though it's somewhat embarrassing for your benefit. And we'll get into that in a few, whether we get into it that far tonight or not, I don't know. Some examples that we could give is the religious mind devising all kinds of works that end in death. I love the way Dave says, the great commandment, the great commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But see, somehow the mind of man, the devil working for centuries, getting his religion in there, he got all these monks around the world. Instead of go ye and preach the word, what do? They stay ye in one place and take a vow of silence. If that's not the ultimate example of their, and think they're doing God a service. Absolutely think they're doing God a service. They think they're doing what he wants. And it's in direct opposition to the word of God. All right? I mean, that's the mind of man producing works that end in death. Just, there's no life from that. All right? You could think of all the false cults, you know, the false gospels like Jehovah's Witness. Here's the mind of man that's now been programmed by the devil. Yes, I said that. That's not Dave Roberson. That's Gary. You can put in there Mormons. You can put in there others, you know. But yeah, and get them to believe in now that they're you know, you got to work. It's all based on your works. You got to knock doors. What if I don't knock doors? Well, you're going to hell. I think I'll knock doors. That's a guilt-driven mentality. It's the opposite of the gospel. I don't witness because I want to go to hell if I don't. I witness. Hey, just in the natural, did you ever have a really good meal somewhere? Now, being a guy, I usually say it this way. Did you ever eat a really good steak? Man, that's a good one. Don't you want to tell everybody about it? Listen, that's witnessing. The best meal I've ever had, I dined at the master's table. I received new life. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me, and I can't help but tell people about it. But it's not a works mentality. But see, the mind of man just tends towards that. On its own, it'll gravitate towards it. And the devil is real good at programming you towards a whole bunch of works that's got nothing at all to do with God's call on your life. He wants to get you like a rat on the wheel. People don't really put rats on the wheel, do they? Mice on the wheel. Gerbil on the wheel. Whatever it is they put. Hamsters on the wheel. There it is. Thank you. Hamsters. Should have known the college professor would know here. Yeah, like a hamster on the wheel. And boy, don't they work? There's Christianity, probably 90%. Hate to say it. Big part of it. And the devil's hoping you'll run. So see, that's Gary. I know I'm like that. I didn't know it at first. Well, I did a little bit. But he's had to make it abundantly clear to me. I have to really be careful. I have to listen to the mind of Christ, because my tendency is, hey, nobody else will do it. I'll do it. Step aside. Get out of my way. We'll get her done. I was raised kind of like that. Well, it's not wrong to have a good work ethic. But man, it's real easy if you're not careful. If you're not listening to the Holy Ghost, you just become the hamster on a wheel. One day you wonder, where did my life go? You didn't really produce anything that was really His mind. You just hamster on the wheel till you die. We don't want that. I always think about that minister that says that he pastored a church for 12 years and had all kinds of great results. I mean, you know, the Lord blesses anything you do. I don't care what you're doing for the kingdom. He'll bless it all that He can. It doesn't mean, you know, I mean, people got healed. People got saved. People got delivered. Then the Lord's having a conversation with him at one point. And the Lord, it was news to him. He says, well, I never did call you to pastor in the first place. What? 12 years? And you never called me to pastor? You blessed it. I said, well, I bless anything you do for my kingdom, but I never called you to pastor a church. At age 61, I don't have any 12-year periods to waste. I don't want any of that hamster on the wheel stuff. I need to be about my Father's business, and I need to know what it is He called Gary Carpenter to do. Amen? Next paragraph. The assignments that come from His mind put the responsibility on me. Now, that's the Holy Spirit talking. Let me say that again. The assignments that come from His mind put the responsibility on me. In its simplest form, so you understand that. How many times have you heard me say here lately, especially, quit trying to figure it out. Just go pray it out. See, the assignment from heaven is to pray. Nobody can do that for you, really. People can make intercession, but you've got to do your own praying. That prayer of edification in the Holy Ghost, I can't really do that for you. Nobody, Dave can't do it for you. But see, the wonderful thing is, if you do that part, that's the kind of assignment that looses the Holy Ghost, your teacher. And the wonderful thing is, if you'll do your part to pray, then He takes responsibility for directing your life, empowering your life, giving you those instructions that you so need. And when you pray, stuff happens. The responsibility for accomplishment in the kingdom is really His. He gives us simple assignments that allows that transfer of responsibility from you to Him. All you have to do is pray. That's your assignment. Holy Ghost can't do that really for you. But if you do that, He takes the responsibility for all the rest of it. It looses Him. God, that's good stuff, you know. He says these are simple actions on your part to be done. Simple words to say, places to go, people to see, messages to deliver, things of a simple order. But the responsibility for accomplishment of the mind of Christ is mine, says the Spirit of grace. Enjoy the freedom that come to the sons of God who relax in my counsel, who cast all the care of the burdens of their own making upon me. Did you hear that? Burdens of their own making upon me, that I may dismiss them and rid them of those things which the carnal mind has devised. I will dismiss those things that were not originated and birthed from the mind of Christ. Now, some real good examples that you're familiar with. Again, my mind, if I just let my mind start... See, I appreciate what Jason does. In case you don't know who Jason... I'm talking about Jason Hamlin. He has a wonderful ministry. Well, good, this goes around the world. And Well, some of you probably seen him more than I have, but anyway, around the world. He has a wonderful ministry. It's called the Genesis Project. I love the logo, until all are fed. Isn't that great? And I know that's an assignment from heaven for him. But see, I have to watch my nature. I know they need volunteers. I know that they need help. You know, I have to be really, and I hope you are. I hope you're helping. I know the Lord's speaking to some of you. Otherwise, he wouldn't have Jason here. Okay? But see, my tendency, I have to be careful. Because I get so involved and go, yes, you know, one can put 1,000 to flight, Jason. Two can put 10,000 to flight. You take a truck, I'll take a truck. We'll be in the parks together pretty soon. I'm so involved in that I'm not doing what God called me to do. See, and that's what you got to be careful of. Now, in his case, the work that he's doing was devised by the mind of Christ. But if I don't be careful, I will cause my own mind to put burdens on me that are of my own devising to go help him. Or 1,000 other things. I could just start thinking, well, let's see, now we could have, here's how programs get developed. See, in the world, they say you see a need and fill it. Well, in the world, that's a good way to make money. Or it's a good way to help people. Let's not be too harsh. Okay? But that's not how a kingdom operates. In a kingdom, here's a revelation knowledge, there is a king. Here's another bit of revelation knowledge. You ain't him. It's not really up to you to decide. It's up to the king to decide. And we're to get our instructions from him. I read you the amplified version of that verse where Jesus, I think it's John 5, where Jesus was saying, I don't do anything that unless I see my Father do it. I don't say anything. But the amplified version says, I don't do anything of my own volition, my own accord. I don't even really decide. As the voice comes to me, in other words, as he listens to the Father, as the voice comes to me, so I render a decision. That's the way it's done. You know, he's given me lots of instructions. He told me one of the earliest ones we ever got, and you're familiar with this, we start that Bible study on Thursday night. Now, we did get confirmation. I asked Sue, first off, you married people? He's not calling one of you and not the other. I'm not saying you'll both have the same equipment, the same gifts, or anything like that. But you two are one. I went and checked with Sue immediately. Now, I heard his voice. I heard him say, start a Bible study. He gave me instructions on who to invite and kind of some broad outlines on about it so I could begin. But I went and checked with Sue. And we're going to have it in our home. And I go check with Sue. Has the Lord been saying anything to you about us having a Bible study in our home? Well, come to find out, she hadn't told me until this moment. She said, well, actually her shoulders kind of went, well, for the last few days, every now and then, I would just see like a big 4x8 sign out in our front yard, which there really was no sign there, but she would see it in the spirit. I would see this sign that says, Bible study, all welcome. I took that as a confirmation. Now, still didn't mean it was easy for us. I mean, we got assaulted every Thursday. We had them on Thursdays. From the time our eyes opened that morning, it's like every devil in hell was waiting to jump on us. Our emotions seemed to be right on the edge all day long. Here we're just trying to make it all day and stay saved and married. So we could make it till 7 o'clock and teach these people about the love of God. You know what I'm saying? Well, you might as well know the truth, you know. The devil, we know we were early in this, so we're still like 98% flesh creatures anyway, you know. Okay. But he told me that's an assignment from heaven. He doesn't give everybody that. You can't go start a Bible study and tell me necessary. I mean, he will bless it. Anything you do, he will bless it. But there's a big difference between that and him calling you to do it. Okay? But now get this. In the course of that freedom that comes from following his instructions, the same Lord who told us to start it, 2 years later, without hardly any warning, just a few hours warning, told me to stop it. I went and asked Sue about that one too. She said, well, I didn't know exactly that it would be tonight, but I knew we were coming to the end of it. Now see, here's a problem. When you have, I told you to notice that phrase where he says, burdens of their own making, that he may dismiss them, any of them that needs to be dismissed, okay? Trouble of it is, see, after 2 years, good things had happened. We were having some success. We had about 55 people come in on an average. People were getting saved, healed, baptized in the Holy Ghost. I had managed finally to stop all of the... We didn't have parking lot profits, but we had front yard profits. I managed to stop that. And things were going along pretty well. See, and what happens, you start taking ownership without even realizing you're doing it. Part of it, when he comes... Now see, there's seasons. It was a season. Then he says, end it. And I mean end it tonight. This is the last one. I did not want to. It was the only thing in the earth we had going ministry-wise. To be perfectly honest with you, because he didn't tell me anything that was coming, I thought he was firing me. I thought I had messed up so bad that I'm getting fired. I didn't have any idea then that he was not going to, you know, stop the ministry. He was fixing to greatly expand it, but I didn't know that day. Okay? But you have to be careful, because there's a certain pride will come in when he says, all right, you've done this work for me for 2 years. Stop it tonight. Right there, you're going to find out, is it still his? Or does it belong to you now? Because part of you won't want to let it go. You've poured 2 years into this. I mean, and the people are getting blessed, Lord. And you can just keep all your handas. Because he's the king, you know. And it's not really up to me, see. Looking back at it now, I think I told you Sunday, oh, thank God that we stopped it. Because he could see what I couldn't, you know. I'm just going along. I mean, we're already having 55 people in that house. There's already nowhere to sit. Cars are parked for a block in each direction every Thursday night. Well, what are you going to do when there's 75? You're going to have to find somewhere to start meeting. What about when there's 100? It would have evolved into some kind of church. And Sue and I would have wound up being pastor. And we'd have been way out on the fringe of his permissive will. It's not God's will that I start pastoring a church within a few miles of the prayer center. What's wrong with Gary? But see, it just would have happened almost automatically. I didn't set out to do anything like that. But without following his instructions... See, without following his instructions, I would have wound up in it anyway. It would have been a big mess. You got that? Seasons. Listen. Say this with me. Jesus Christ is alive and well. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he is still the head of the church. He speaks from heaven his instructions. And I receive them by the Holy Ghost. What he says, that's my life. That's it. That's it. That's the walk of the Spirit, the walk of power, in just a few sentences. What he says, I mean, there's a lot included in there. But when it comes to the leadership of your life, that's it. What he says, that's what you do. Otherwise, you've become your own king. So what can start off like that Bible study? I mean, that was his perfect will for 2 years. What if I hadn't have obeyed? He still would have blessed it, but it would have dropped from his perfect will to his acceptable will. What if I kept going another years and he kept dealing with me? See, you can eventually keep on with something like that, and it can become such a dead work in the earth. You know, all the different denominations, and I'm not saying they're totally dead. I'm not saying that. Don't write me no letters. You know. But you could just name them. Every denomination started off with a fresh revelation from God. That's why they split from wherever they were before. And it was a real revelation from God most of the time. Luther, right on down. You could just come right on down. He had part of it. Wesley had parts of it. Others have had parts of it. Right on down. But what started off as a perfect will of God, now they've got a portion of the truth and they're proclaiming it from the rooftops, and that's great. But they held on to that, trying, you know, the Holy Spirit is trying to move them on to the next revelation. And they're saying, no, we're going to camp right here. And they're still camped right there 100 years, 200 years later. And it's become, now some of them have gotten so far away from the mind of Christ. And again, this is Gary Carpenter speaking. This is not Dave Roberson speaking. They're ordaining homosexual ministers. You're not going to get a whole lot farther away from the mind of Christ than that. And yet they think they're doing God a service. Okay? How dead a work do you want? But it didn't start off dead. But it became dead. Because man wound up taking ownership of it instead of continuing to follow the King. Okay. Next paragraph. No, I'm going to read that one again. Enjoy the freedom that comes to the sons of God who relax in my counsel, who cast all of the care of the burdens of their own making upon me, that I may dismiss them and rid them of these things which the carnal mind has devised. I will dismiss those things that were not originated in birth from the mind of Christ. And boy, he will too. I'll give you some more examples. The Bible study originated in his mind, but ending the Bible study originated in his mind too. Okay, next one. He says, I bring you no plan but his. I bring you no assignments but his. As you learn to hearken to my voice, you will revel in the simplicity of his assignments, for they are not burdensome. Again, I say, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This is the true meaning of, if you love me, keep my commandments. He was not so much speaking of the written word, although his commandments never violate the written word. He was speaking of those things he assigns from heaven. As he speaks in heaven, I bring his mind to you that you may receive his instruction and his counsel. Are you still in John 14? Look at this. You know how many times I've taken you through this. You know what's going on here. And normally I've skipped over this verse, and I've been skipping over it on purpose till we got to tonight. Of all the things that are written in these face-to-face documents, this paragraph right here, I've probably received more flack over it from my denominational friends than any other, because they say if you want to keep his commandments, you keep everything he said in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But yet the Holy Spirit told me, said, no, well, that's good. I mean, yeah, we need to keep his written, what he said, but that's not really what he's talking about. He's talking about his, like, present hour speaking, his assignments that you get from heaven. All right, what is the first law of meditation, people? You don't ever. And that means not ever. And that means not at any time. And that means not for any reason. And that means no how, no way, not ever do you lift a verse out of its setting. What is the setting of John 14, 15, and 16? What is the subject matter? I'm about to leave the planet. Well, can we go, how are we going to follow you? Can we go? I'm going to go be with the Father. Can we follow you? Can we go with you now? No, you can't come with me now. You'll come later. Question, Lord, if you're leaving the planet and we're staying here, I mean, for 3.5 years, we've received our instructions every day from you. How in the world are we supposed to follow you? Is this thing over? Should we go back to fishing? What is going on? So he begins to introduce to him, is this not the subject matter of John 14, 15, and 16? He says, I'm not going to leave you orphans. And that's what they were worried about. He says, no, I'm going to send you this comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He's not going to speak on his own authority, but what he hears, that's what he's going to speak. Now, with all that in mind, look at John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Look at verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. In the context, that's what they've been asking. How are we going to know what to do? I mean, you would just tell us, I want you to go do this, I want you to go do that. If you're leaving, how are we going to understand that? Well, if you love me, keep my commandments, not the Holy Spirit's, my commandments. I'm going to send you this other comforter. He's the Spirit of truth. He's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. He's not going to speak on his own authority. See, he's not come to be your Lord. What he hears, that's what he's going to speak. What's he going to hear, Lord? He is going to hear my commandments for you. He's going to hear my instructions for you, and that's how you're going to follow me. In the laws of meditation, it can't mean anything else. They're not asking of him about what he's already said. They've heard all of that. They've attended every meeting that he's done for 3.5 years. They've already heard all of it. You know, we could go right now where Jesus said, if you want to be like the guy that built his house on the rock, you keep my sayings, not commandments, you know, not the same. You keep my sayings. Well, his sayings are the things that he just got through preaching in that sermon. You can back up in it in Luke 6, and he says, you know, like, love your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Do good. You know, they slap you on the one cheek, turn the other one. If they take your goods, give it to them. Well, that's his saying. See, they already have all that. They're not asking him about what he has said. They know his sayings. They're going, what do we do tomorrow? What's our instructions the day after you go be with the Father? How are we going to know what to do? He said, well, if you love me, you're going to do what I tell you. Well, how are we going to know what you tell us? And that's the whole subject matter of John 14, 15, and 16. He's not really talking about all of the things, although we obviously keep all the written things, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, forgive and love and pray and all of everything that he said, obviously, but that's just not what he's talking about here. He's teaching them how to follow him after he's left the planet. That's by the Holy Ghost. Is that good stuff? Hallelujah. Back in 1998, I didn't know that at all from the Word. I could not have shown it to you from the Word. Okay? But over time, over 10 years, he's got it across to me. Oh, okay. See, because the denomination I grew up in, I'll just tell you, since they deny that the Holy Ghost, you know, they don't deny the Holy Ghost. They just say tongues is of the devil. That's the one I grew up in. So they absolutely don't encourage you to pray the mysteries. Well, if they cut you off from the source, you're left to your own mind. And that's why they can't go anywhere beyond Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See, I mean, they're going, well, if you want to know, he's talking about keeping the commandments in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But in all those years I was in those churches, I never had one of them go over to John 16, verse 12 again. I know we've already taught on this, but right here's a good time to mention it again, John 16, 12. I never heard one of them ever teach on this verse. Because what they'll tell you, they'll flat tell you, no, he's just talking about the commandments in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No. Here he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, he is talking to Peter and John and James. These guys have heard every sermon that he has taught for 3.5 years. Everything that's recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were witnesses, and they're the men that wrote it down for us. There was no Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John then, of course. It says, well, you can't bear them now. Well, why not? Speak on, Lord. I can bear them. No, the things he was really talking about, you could memorize Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You could memorize it verbatim, and you still won't know what he's talking about there, because he says, I can't tell you. Well, they couldn't tell him until after they were born again. They had to have a spirit which is of God in order to be taught by God, the Holy Ghost. We went to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The things, the natural man, the natural mind, he cannot receive them because they're spiritually discerned. Comparing spiritual with spiritual. Dave taught us eloquently about Chuck the Duck. Chuck was taught in a denominational church called the Chicken Church. They kept telling him he was a chicken. So as long as he believed that, he couldn't fly and he couldn't swim. They were trying to tell a duck chicken things, and he believed chicken things. See, that's like us today. You sit in dead religion, you'll be conformed to dead religion. One day an evangelist duck came. Boy, look at your feet. Look, they're webbed like mine. Come here, let me show you something. Look at your beak. You notice it's not pointy like those chickens? Look at this. You can do things they can't do. Follow me over here. I can't go out in that water. I'm a chicken. I'll die. No. I'm a duck. And I'm teaching you duck things, comparing duck to duck. Look at your feet. Look at my feet. Look at yours. Come on now. Tentatively, the little duck gets out there, starts splashing around, says, I'm not, the chickens lied to me. I've been receiving false doctrine my whole life. I've been not believing a lie. I can swim. And the duck says, you can do more than that, boy. Now watch me spread my wings here. Watch this. You just do what I do. Here they go together. Pretty soon those They flapping, and one boy, all of a sudden, they both lift off. And the duck does what no chicken can ever do. See, God has called us to do what normal humans cannot do. Do you hear me? You are not a chicken. You're not even really a human. By what I mean by that, you're not of the species of Adam anymore. Your body is, but your spirit is not. The life that is in you did not originate on this planet. You're from another realm, and you have to be taught that realm by somebody who is from that realm. His name is the Holy Ghost. He says, you know how he'll teach you? Look at Jesus. Now look at you. Look at Jesus. Let me get a mirror right here. Look in this mirror. Well, I look in that mirror, I see Jesus. He says, that's what I see in you. Come on now, lay your hands on him. No, nothing will happen. Lay your hands on him. Come on. I'm the anointing. Listen to me. Do what I tell you. Y'all getting this? Hallelujah. All right, so you see it there in John 14:15. Let's get a little more confirmation. Oh, by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I want you to really get it straight, in case somebody challenges you on this, that you can show them that when he says, if you love me, keep my commandments, he's not just talking about the written word. Thank God. I mean, we're not violating that. Of course, you do his sayings. We're talking about his present hour instructions, your assignment from heaven. In the same context now, come over to John 15:10. We get just a little bit more light. This is all one sermon. It's all one thing. He gives us a little more light on what he's talking about here in verse 10 of chapter 15. Here he says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Okay, it's clear enough. But now notice, he gives us a comparison, duck things to duck. He says, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Well, now your first thought, my denominational friends would say, well, he kept the law. Well, sure he did. He was born under the law, born of a woman under the law. Yes, during his time and before the cross, he never sinned. See, you know, the Bible's plain. He never sinned, so he had to perfectly keep it. But is that really what he's talking about? What is the context again? What is the context of John 14:15-16? He's explaining how the leadership comes. He's not really talking here about keeping the written commandments. He's talking about finishing the work that the Father gave him to do. He received his instructions from the Father by the agency of the Holy Ghost, the same way we have to receive his instructions as head of the church, by way of the Holy Ghost. For one final confirmation, to put a final nail in this box, not leaving this passage, go on to John 17. This is where he offers up this prayer, the great high priestly prayer of Jesus. Look at verse 4. John 17:4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the what? I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He had instructions from heaven. See, you're not the spotless Lamb of God. Have you figured that part out yet? You are not qualified to die for the sins of the whole world. Only he was. That was his cross. Yet he tells us, take up your cross daily and follow me. Well, I'm not called to die on a cross as a substitute for the sins of the whole world. That's already been done, thank you very much. That job has been filled. Nobody else is ever going to fill it again. So what does he mean when he says, Gary, you take up your cross? I have an assignment from heaven, and it's probably going to involve death to my flesh. My flesh is probably not going to like it. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Well, he's not calling you to physically get on a cross. He's calling you for your instruction, your assignment from heaven. You're called to do something. In mine and Sue's case, part of that cross, one of the initial parts of it, well, I want you to do a Bible study in your home for 2 years. See, we didn't know it was 2 years. We found out later. Well, then later he had other instructions. He's got instructions for me now. Got instructions for you. So here, if we're going to keep it all in context, he's even showing us, he says, when I say keep my commandments, I want you to do it the same way. Look what I've done. I have kept my Father's commandments. Well, what does that mean? I've done what he told me to do. Last week, I quoted to you again, John 5, where he says, I don't do anything but what I hear my father say it. I don't say anything but what I hear my father say it. He's not originating any of that. He's getting his instructions from the Father. So he says, Father, I have come and I have finished the work that you assigned me to do. Paul, at the end of his life, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. And I have finished the race that he laid out for me. See? Paul says, I want to apprehend that for which I was apprehended. God had something in mind when he saved Paul. He told him what it was. And then Paul spent the rest of his life fulfilling that desire of the king. It wasn't up to Paul anymore. It's up to the king. Hallelujah. Y'all getting anything out of this? Now see, if I had not have stopped that Bible study when I did, and it would have evolved into a church, and let's just say for teaching's sakes, it would have been successful. All right? Well, so here we 10 years down the road later. Well, Sue and I would be pastoring some church somewhere, maybe 100, 150 people, something like that, because it's only out in God's permissive will. I don't know. It could have been a big one, but it wouldn't have mattered if there's 5,000 people. I still would have been over in God's permissive will somewhere. You see what I'm saying? It would no longer be following his commandments. For the last 11 years, I've been following mine. That's the big trap. That's the hamster on the wheel syndrome. That's what you don't want to do. Amen? He said, this is the true understanding of if you love me, keep my commandments. He was not so much speaking of the written word, although his commandments never violate the written word. He was speaking of those things he assigned you from heaven. As he speaks in heaven, I bring his mind to you, that you may receive his instruction and his counsel. Next paragraph. I have come to relieve you of the burdens that are of your own making, says the Spirit of grace. Religion and the mind of man loads men's shoulders with heavy burdens. The religionist will not lift a finger to remove them. On the contrary, they keep piling more upon the shoulders in order that men become bowed over with the weight of tyranny. For liberty's sake, Christ has set you free. You are a free citizen of the kingdom of heaven with no responsibilities except those simple assignments which he gives you each day, says the Spirit of grace. And I bring them directly from his mind to yours. As you develop in your capacity and your ability to hear me, which is increasing daily, you shall love this freedom. You shall love this freedom that belongs to the sons of the living God. I remove the burdens of religion. Thank you, Lord. I remove the burdens that are of your own making, devised by the carnal mind that did not originate in the mind of Christ. I relieve you of those things as you follow my instructions. The weight of decades is about to come off your shoulders, says the Spirit of grace. And you shall experience freedom not known since your youth. And you will find that this freedom from the weight of many burdens shall bring clarity to your mind. Freshness and sharpness that you have not experienced for decades. You shall find it will bring refreshing and strength to your physical health. You shall leap and jump and run as the calves who have been loosed from the stall into a wide place to enjoy all that the Master has created for them. And you shall experience that freedom. Again, I say to you, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This was in 1998. We didn't have even one employee yet. The whole ministry was a living room operation. Sue and I were the cook. Was it chief cook and bottle washer? Is that what you're saying? Everything that happened to us. And it was all being done with zero money, practically. You know, we'd do everything that was required of us. Then in the evenings, we'd sit around there. We didn't have computers doing any of this yet, so we had these ring binders alphabetically, and we'd have to thumb through the pages, see what we sent them, not what, you know. It was a job. We'd stuff those. We'd sort out the envelopes on the floor. The whole living room was just full of bubble mailers and stacks of tapes. And she's reading to me out of the ring binder, and I'm going from stack to stack. Okay, S-102-1 goes to Joe Smith in such and such town. And in the beginning, it was okay. I mean, that was all right. But as the thing began to grow, way down in my knower, not in my head yet, way down in my knower, we kept doing it all ourselves. And way down in my knower, I knew I was starting to miss it, but I wasn't quite sure how yet. And when you keep doing stuff in your own strength, see, again, what started off as His perfect plan, because I wasn't really listening to Him, let me pause for a moment and I'll tell you this. One of the strongholds that I've had to deal with strongly in Gary Carpenter's life, it's much better now. I have had a horrible time in my life with delegation. And I know exactly why I have that problem. I love my dad, but I got it from my dad. All my life we were in the construction, and my dad is one of those men, it's just true, nobody can do it better. Now he'll tell you nobody. See, a lot of people tell you nobody can do it better, but a lot of people can do it better. But the amazing thing about my dad, I'm talking about the things that he knows how to do. Now, carpentry or concrete work or masonry or any kind of thing like that. When he says nobody can do it better, it's the truth. Nobody can even do it as well. But yet, in order to do his business, he had to have employees. He would say things like this because, you know, things would just weren't done the way he liked it. Oh, I just wish there was some way I could do this concrete work, just me and a machine. These people is what, you know, they just don't do it right. If you want it done right, you got to do it yourself. I grew up with that. If you want it done right, you got to do it yourself. You can't trust anybody else. And by the way, the buck stops here. I don't care if that guy there is the one that messed it up. And you told him to do it right. And he messed up. The customer is not going to go to your employee. As far as they're concerned, you messed up. And he's right about that. So they'd messed up. Boy, I mean, make my dad so mad, you know. And he'd storm around there. I wish there was just some way I could do this all by myself, just me and a machine. I grew up with that. Well, so I have this tendency, you know, not to let things go beyond my fingertips. They might mess it up. And it'll be my fault. Okay. Well, as it was fine in the beginning, but as the ministry got bigger and bigger, what are you going to do when you got 8,000 families on the mailing list? And they're all over the world now. Well, I was having trouble letting go of things. And when you do something like that for a long time and it slips from being in His perfect will, and you don't know exactly how you're missing it, but some down in your knower, you know that you're missing it. What happens? It gets what started off as a joy for you to do what He called you to do, it becomes a burden. And you start getting weighted down. You start getting discouraged. You start having this tired feeling all the time. And if anybody asks you, it's not really that you hate it. No, it's good. But what's happened, see, it's becoming your burden and not His burden anymore. You're doing it now in your own strength. He's trying to get you to better ways of doing things if you just listen to Him. Now, I said all that to set you up for this next paragraph because, I'll tell you this now before I read it to you. This was 98. Fast forward to the year 2003. And I'm in South Africa. I felt like that calf that had been loosed from the stall. 30 days I was over there and I never stuffed one envelope with one tape. He had taught me, I had learned over the years, how to let things go. He had dealt with that stronghold, which means I had to deal with it. And we had listened to him how to do things. And before then, I couldn't go anywhere. Couldn't do anything, really, because who's going to do this? But I know what that free man, I was over, and I could not believe I was free to go to Poland, then go to South Africa, then go to Korea, and the work was still being done. It's amazing. See, and I remembered over there, especially I remember one day in South Africa. I know right where we were. We were at one of those, they took me to a game reserve out on what they call the high belt, which is the high grasslands. And we're driving through there in some kind of combination. I never seen anything like it. It's kind of a combination. I would say it's a Land Rover van, if they make such a thing. This thing can go over anything. We're out there, and I'm looking over to the left are rhinos. Over to the right are elephants. We come up and had to stop while the giraffe crossed the road in front of us. And I'm going, you've made me free. I felt like just taking off running. I was such like a happy little kid, and I remembered this word right there. I remembered this word. I said, Lord, you are so right. Free like the calf, let loose in the field to go frolic. Hallelujah. All right. Now this next, but that, now we're back to 1998. We're not there yet, okay? At this point, oh, glory to God, I get to stuff more tapes. Hallelujah. Thank you for calling me, Lord, to stuff more bubble mailers and tapes. And it's becoming weightier to me all the time, okay? Don't ever think the Holy Ghost is not able to show you right where you are. Listen to this as I describe this vision. It perfectly, in graphical form, described where I was. He says, see the vision that I am painting in your spirit at this moment, says the Spirit of grace. You have become as a man with many ropes tied around your waist. You see yourself in the center with each rope being tied off in a different direction to large, unmovable boulders. No matter which direction you try to move, there is a rope extended behind you which will not let you move. If you try to go east, the rope holds you back to the west. If you try to go west, there's a rope that will not let you. It holds you back. If you try to go north, there's a rope that's holding you back. In every direction, you are bound to the works of your own making. Did you hear that? And he says, it's not that the works represented by the boulders did not originate in the mind of Christ. Some did. Some did not. I didn't like hearing that part. Some did. Some did not. But the ropes represent your own methods. And you have entangled yourself trying to accomplish those things in your own strength rather than learning how to do them in mine. The season you are entering in now is where you shall learn what this word means. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. I have come to untangle you from the ropes. I will untie them. I will remove them. I will disentangle you from the snare as you hearken to my counsel and obey my voice without question. You will see and soon experience the freedom that belongs to the sons who serve the living God by the Spirit and not by the energy of the flesh. Oh, you shall enjoy this freedom, and I truly have. A few practical examples. I hadn't even thought of these until just now, and he's shown them to me. Practical examples. Now, do you understand what he's saying? There's these. See, get the picture. There's these big boulders. If you could see five or six big giant boulders here. And the boulders represent a work, something that we're doing. Some of those, he said, originated from the mind of Christ. Some of them didn't. But see, I'm trying to do them by the methods or what I have devised. So I've got myself all entangled by these ropes. In other words, he might say at that time, I need you to go to Poland. I couldn't go to Poland. I can't leave. I got to stay here and do this. Or he might say, well, here's an example. In the early days of the website, we had my email address posted there. Can you imagine what happened? Well, pretty soon I'm spending more hours a day in trying to answer questions and answer emails than I was in prayer. Yet I thought I was doing the work of the Lord, but this was just another thing that was causing, it was becoming a weighty thing. It was becoming a burden. Okay. One day he just flat tells me, remove the email address. But Lord, here you go again. But, you know, 4 hours a day I'm spending answering all these questions. In a way, it's ministry. Part of it. I look back on it from 10 years. Part of it feeds your ego because you're accomplishing something. And yes, don't you know I have the answers? You know, you poor little sheep. Come here. But see, he said it was a work of my own making. He never told me. He said, did I ever tell you to put your email address there? I went, no, sir. Who told you to do that? Well, everybody else has theirs. We also had an 800 number. And that was a work of my own making. And it was a good intention. It cost us money to have an 800 number. But I didn't want anybody not to be able to call just because they couldn't afford to make the call. So we had an 800 number. Oh, yeah, that was great. Well, one of his instructions was get that thing. It's in that. Don't pay for it anymore. Get rid of that. But, Lord, if you go to the Contact Us page of our website, there's a P.O. box, and that's about it. Well, we do have a number that you can call, and you will get a voice recording. And that's to discourage people that want to ask questions. The answers are on the tapes. That's why we have them for free at the website. What you're trying to do is, I don't want to listen to a six-hour tape set. I want to just Gary to tell me. Well, I already told you it's on the tapes. They're free. Listen to them. But my job is not to personally mentor 8,000 people or more. Little things that he would tell you to do. But it's not easy to do those. Each one of those was hard for me, and it almost seemed cruel. Let me give you a little hint. Don't ever accuse the Lord of being cruel. One of the things he'll get across to you real quick, I love these people more than you do. In fact, we've already heard that in one of the previous documents that I've read here. He says, you're thinking that these people are going to be hurt. I love these people more than you do. They'll be helped more if you'll obey what I tell you. Okay? He says, as the master administrator, see, always get this straight. He has not called you to administrate your own ministry. He has called the Holy Spirit to administrate His ministry. You're the connection between the spiritual realm and the material realm. It's almost like, okay, there's this ministry that needs to be run, and it's being run from heaven. If you could picture like a locomotive as being the ministry, and this thing needs to be operated in the earth. It's something that Jesus wants done. And so Jesus has given instructions. He's going, locomotive, run. Thing of it is, somebody's got to pull the levers. Throw coal in the burner. Turn the valves. Somebody's got to do that just to make it run. That's us. But it's His locomotive. And it's His instructions. He's just asking us, will you please pull the levers and press the switches that I tell you? Yeah, but I want to go to Omaha. It's not up to you to decide where the train goes. It's His train. But people like me in Omaha. It doesn't matter. He is the master administrator. He says, and I'll give you an instruction. As you obey that instruction, another rope shall fall from around your waist. And I'll give you another instruction. As you obey that instruction, another rope shall fall from around your waist. As this process continues, you shall be free. Well, other things besides just stuff at the website, we started having employees, you know. Started off with Erin. She was our first one. I had to start relinquishing things for her to do. I mean, here we go, dealing with that stronghold. And I'm having a hard time. Even though I love Erin, I trust Erin, I know her IQ is higher than mine, but it's just a stronghold that I've had. I mean, this is not a big mystery. I know I have it. And God's saying, you got to turn it over. And I'm going, if you want it done right, Lord. He's going, that's what your daddy said. Let go of it. No! Turn it loose. Let Erin do it. No! So first she did this and that. See, we keep our financial records in QuickBooks. One day he says, let her do the QuickBooks. Oh God, oh God. Turn it over. No. If you want it done right, no. Turned it over. Then Amanda came. She's a year or two later, she began... Y'all know what happened. You know, we wound up, especially during those middle years when it was mostly cassette tapes. Boy, it got to be quite an operation. I mean, those duplicators alone are $2,500 a piece. We didn't have no $2,500. We had to ask the Lord. He managed to get them all to us, you know, three of them. Without those girls. But see, by listening to His instructions, letting one rope go, letting another rope go, some of them had to just go. Like, no more 800 number, period. No more email address at the website. No more. There was a lot of things like that. We were doing all kinds of things in the beginning that we don't do anymore. Now, no. Okay, let me finish this thought, and we'll pick it up another day. So in this vision, it's still going on. He says, as these ropes fall off, as this process continues, you shall be free. Notice that the boulders are still in place. The tape ministry continued without me stuffing the bubble mailers. QuickBooks, it still works. He says, they were not destroyed. They're still there. I will set you free from the yoke of the ropes that have held you to the works. Those that are of God shall remain, and they shall be operated by the Spirit and not by your mind. And you shall be free to serve the living Christ on a daily basis. And see, I could never have gone to Africa, Poland, Korea. This will be my fifth trip to Korea. Could never have done all that. See, and then it's continued even beyond there. Because he kept giving me more instructions. We began digitizing the message. Actually, one of my daughters no longer works for us now. You know why? Well, he has so streamlined and reduced the volume of work now, because instead of sending all those cassette tapes, they're all on a DVD. So instead of sending 6 tapes at a time in an album, we send 400 tapes at a time on one DVD. You get caught up pretty quick. And so Angie now is working for another company, because we just flat don't have the workload. Used to, it took all 3 girls and volunteers come in once or twice a week. Our postage that used to run $4,500 a month now runs about $250 a month. Well, glory to God. That money can be used for other things in the kingdom. But I don't exist to feed the U.S. Post Office. I exist to serve the King. But he keeps giving us ideas that allows us to do more and go farther with less money and for sure less of my time involved. So, Gary, what excuses do you have not to pray? I don't have any at all. I don't have any at all. See? Trouble is, you become very highly accountable. All right. Preview. I'm going to give you this one, and we're going to go on. And next time. Should I do this? I feel like I'm giving you a cliffhanger. At the end of the season, you know, they leave you with a cliffhanger. He says, you have asked and you have asked repeatedly for my precise instructions. How many's done that? Okay, of course, I'm baiting you. Come on, raise your hand. How many's asked him for your precise instruction? Every time you have asked, I have looked into your heart to see if your heart was prepared to obey me without question. Up until now, I've not found such trust. I look in your heart today, and your trust in me has grown greatly this month. That's interesting, this month. You know why? Because of these daily, almost daily encounters I was having face to face. Now that I find this level of trust in your heart, I will begin revealing unto you one instruction at a time, those simple things that must be done to disentangle you from the ropes of bondage that you have devised yourself. Now, this is the cliffhanger. You should know that I will reveal these instructions to you at the level where I find trust in your heart to obey me. There is still distrust in your heart toward the Spirit of the living God. I'm not surprised. I'm not shocked. I am not offended. But I will work with you and bring you the mind of Christ in those areas where your trust is developed sufficiently to obey what I say. As you see the fruit of obeying each instruction, your trust in me will increase, and rope by rope by rope, you shall be free. Now here's the cliffhanger. Remember I said, I can't imagine walking along with Jesus side by side and asking him a question, and him just clamping his mouth shut and refusing to answer me at all. I just really can't see that. You know, Jesus would talk to me. He would answer me. But there is a time, just like when Jesus told them, he says, I have a lot of things I'd like to tell you, but you're not able to bear them now. There's a lot of instructions that you may have been asking him. He just can't share them with you right now, because he looks in your heart. There's nothing in you that would obey. And once you receive the instruction and don't obey, what is that called, people? That's called rebellion. And that opens the door for attack from the enemy. He talks about this later on. We'll get into it in the next one. He says, I don't casually toss the Lord's sheep into the wolf's mouth. Your instructions come as a byproduct of trust. Well, how does trust in Him increase? By getting to know Him better. How would that happen? How about a lot of praying in other tongues? Did you get anything out of that? Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Praise God for His Word.